Good morning, everyone. Today's reading is from John chapter 21, from verse 15 all the way to verse 25. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that this testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This is the word of the Lord.
Jonathan, you might not get that way. Morning, everyone. Let's pray together. Father God, as we look at your word and continue through the end of John, we pray that as you have taught us in the past, so you would teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you ever feel a failure? Well, there's a question, isn't it? What about in your Christian life? Do you ever feel a failure? Well, Peter didn't only know the feeling of being a failure, he knew he had failed. He knew he'd let Jesus down. Three times he denied Jesus in the courtyard. And so we read last week in chapter 21, verse 3, that he went back to fishing. And the really sad thing for Peter was he went back to something he thought he was good at, and even that he failed at. Life was not getting any better for him as it went on. He's probably reached one of the lowest points in his life. It is it not, so easy for us to associate with Peter. Each one of us, I imagine, can think of a time when we've let God down, where we feel we've failed him, and where we go, "Oh no." It's an all too common experience. And so the danger of this is that we instantly go, "I'm just like Peter." Or perhaps you feel you're like John, the other disciple, or perhaps you feel like you're one of the others. But actually, if we're going to understand this passage properly, what we need to do is not focus on Peter, but focus on Jesus. And so, as we go through, let's see how Jesus approaches somebody who knows they've failed him. Because as we do that, then we'll begin to see how this relates to us and the times we feel we've let him down or failed him. So the first thing we learn is that Jesus reveals Peter's failure. Jesus reveals Peter's failure. Now, in a public way, Jesus reveals Peter's failure. It is obvious in the choice of breakfast on the seashore. It's a careful place where Jesus is meeting with Peter. But there are so many clues in the passage that Jesus wants to confront Peter with his failure. Now, he does this, as we'll see as we go through, not to make him feel guilty or wretched or awful, but actually so that he can restore him. But we need to get through how he makes sure that Peter realizes what he's dealing with before we can get to the restoration bit. So, in each question, verse 15, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Verse 16, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Verse 17, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you notice that he's gone back not to calling Peter, Peter, the name that he'd given him, the rock. He's gone back to calling him Simon because he's been anything but rock-like. He's actually been a real failure. And Jesus wants him to understand his own limitations, his own feebleness, his own failings. But secondly, in verse 15, he asks Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, just before Jesus is arrested, they have a conversation and Peter goes, everybody else will desert you, Jesus, but I won't. I'm all right. I'll be much better than everybody else. And so when Jesus says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Imagine where Peter is at. He's back to that bold claim that he would never desert because he loves Jesus so much. Thirdly, in verse 9, which was last week, we were told this. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals. There is only one other time in the New Testament where we're told there was a fire of burning coals. And that is in the courtyard as Peter warms his hands before he denies Jesus. Peter doesn't just have the verbal clues. He's looking at a fire that would have reminded him of that courtyard scene. And then, of course, most painfully of all, the third time, verse 17, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. Peter is confronted with his failure by Jesus. And notice that Jesus would have known that this would hurt Peter. Jesus will challenge us about our failures, even if that challenging will hurt us. Why? Because he wants to restore us. You see, the devil, when he challenges us with our failures, he just goes, you're rubbish. You're useless. Whoever thought you'd be a good Christian? Not you, I hope. But when Jesus confronts us with the times we get it wrong, the times we fail him, it's only ever to restore us, to bring us back to a place where we are useful in his services. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really like being confronted with my failings. So I would be grateful if you don't, as you go out, all of you tell me what my failings are. That would be a little uncomfortable for me, and you wouldn't get home till about 5 o'clock this afternoon. So most of us, if we're honest, are not particularly comfortable with having our failings pointed out. We get a bit defensive. But actually, here is Jesus wanting to engage with our failings, not to make us feel bad, but so that he can restore us. Now, I don't know how you feel you fail Jesus. Perhaps it's something in the last week. Perhaps it's something that's been going on for months. Perhaps it's a sin that you've let be part of you for years. Perhaps it's that you've settled for not being wholehearted. whatever it is, I know that if God touches that and confronts you with your failing, it's not to make you feel bad. I know that because actually what Jesus does in a wonderful way is restore Peter. So if Jesus reveals his failure, now Jesus restores Peter. And he does that by telling Peter what he's going to do. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Now, much effort has been expended on what's the difference between those three expressions. And the truth is, I don't think there is very much. I think it's just a restoration back to the role of being the leader of God's people. He is to tend the flock of Christ, to love them, to teach them, to care for them, to be the rock that Jesus had said he would be in chapter 1 of John's Gospel. He is to shepherd the sheep. Now imagine yourself being in Peter's case here. Imagine yourself that you've denied Jesus three times. What's the one thing you're really worried about? That you've blown it for good. And Jesus says, no. Even denying me three times does not take you out from being restored and being useful in my service. Peter is reinstated despite his failure. I think we often live in a world where any failure is the final word. The great news in God's kingdom is it isn't. That if we are willing to let God confront us with our failings, he will restore us, renew us, enable us to be useful to him again. You don't have to go through much of the Old Testament to read of men and women who absolutely fail again and again, and yet are useful in God's service as he restores them and renews them. Rita Snowden, a Christian woman, wrote this: "You ask me what forgiveness means. It's the wonder of being trusted again by God in the place where I disgraced him." Is that an amazing truth? That's what Peter learns. But it's possible that you might be thinking, but you don't know what a failure I am. No, I don't, and you might be very thankful for that. But God does. And his ways don't change. His character doesn't change. The God who restored Peter, the God who made Peter useful again. And just, if you doubt that, read through the book of Acts and see the extraordinary things that Peter does. Not in his own strength, but in God's. The God who restored him will restore us too. Now, it may be that you've been involved in a ministry that seems to have gone wrong. It may be that you felt a failure as a Christian for years. It may be you look back and go, if only I could have been more useful to God. That's what Peter would have felt. But Jesus restored him. This chapter is just fantastic if you've ever felt a failure as a Christian. Actually, it's fantastic if you've ever failed God, because there is promise of restoration, renewal. He dusts you down and makes you useful in his service again. But having restored Peter, and I love the realism here, that he then needs to remind Peter of something. And what he needs to remind him of is the nature of discipleship. Verse 19. Jesus said this which was that he would be crucified when he's older, to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. And then Peter turns towards John, and in verse 22, Peter asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Having restored him, he reminds him that actually the essential nature of being useful to God is to follow Jesus. And it's amazing, isn't it? He's had this amazing restoration. You think he'd just be really grateful, wouldn't you? Everything was going to be perfect. And then he looks at John and goes, what about him? And Jesus goes, that's none of your business, mate. Well, paraphrased. The whole point, you see, is Peter is already being distracted from following Jesus by having his eyes in the wrong place. Peter knows it's easy to take your eyes off Jesus. He's done it time and again in the gospel. You and I need to recognize that actually the essential nature of being useful to God is to follow Jesus, to have him as the center of all we are and do, to not be distracted from following him. I don't know about you, but there are many distractions, aren't there, that get in the way of following Jesus. But actually, like Peter, we just need to be reminded that that's the essential nature. And we'd think, wouldn't we, that we'd find that easy, but we don't, because it's costly. Peter knows it's going to be costly for him. He knows it's going to cost him his very life. Now, for most of us, we won't have to pay that cost. But putting Jesus first, following him, isn't always easy. But it was always the best thing to do. I had a bit of a realization earlier this year when I realized that this year I would have been a Christian 50 years. I obviously became a Christian in my mother's womb. That was the obvious thing. Not quite. What a privilege it's been. Has it always been easy? Absolutely not. Would I change the decision I made 50 years ago? Absolutely not. Yes, it is sometimes costly, but it is always the best decision to follow Jesus. And it may be you're here today thinking, but I've never ever made that decision. Well, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you that if you sometimes feel in life a failure, that things haven't gone exactly how you wanted them to go, the God of the Bible is someone who recognizes that we all have times when we feel a failure, and he wants to restore us, renew us, help us to work through those failures. And we do that best as we follow him and keep our eyes on this Jesus. So this morning, where are you? Where are you in this journey of faith? Perhaps you've been a Christian for a number of years and you've sort of allowed yourself to get to a place where you accept some of the things you fail at. You've shut your eyes and ears to God saying, let's deal with that. Well, this morning, will you let him? He does that not to make you feel guilty or awful. He does it so that you don't have to take the burden of feeling a failure anymore. Imagine Peter leaving that seashore. Be very different from the man who walked onto it, wouldn't it? You and I have that immense privilege of having a God who says, if you let me deal with where you go wrong, you will know freedom. You will know, as we said earlier in our service, that his burden is light. This morning, where are you? What are you going to let God do for you? Or are you going to shut your eyes to him and your ears to him? Let's pray together. Perhaps you're in a place that you want God to restore you this morning. Then simply come and ask him to do that. Ask him to help you to let go of that feeling of being a failure. Ask him, as he did for Peter, to restore you, renew you, remind you that at the heart of being useful in his service, all it needs is us to follow Jesus and his ways. Father God, we thank you that you are the God who restores, renews, forgives. Thank you that you want us to be useful in building your kingdom, but thank you that you know that we will be useful if we allow you to confront us with our failings so that we can be forgiven, restored, renewed, follow you again in new and fresh ways. Help us to do that as a church family and as individuals, that we would see you do extraordinary things in and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. Because of who he is, we're willing to let everything go for him. Please stand, as if you are able, as we sing, All I Once Held Dear.